Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The texts for our message this morning are basically all three of our texts, but primarily our epistle reading from Romans chapter 12 and our gospel reading from John chapter 17. Today we begin this year's annual People with a Purpose journey with a deeper look into one of the important principles from Scripture that many of us may not at first think of as having a connection to the role God has for us as His stewards. Now, I know what happens for many of you when you hear the word steward or stewardship in church. It's either one of two different reactions. The first is that you instinctively look for your purse or your wallet and grab a hold of it just a little tighter, thinking, here they go again, trying to get more of my money, or more of my time, or more of my commitment. Or second, your eyes just kind of gloss over at the same time that they roll back into your head, and you think, blah, 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 Pastor, why do we need to hear all of this again? I've already heard it up more times than I can count. Well, let me first respond to those concerns in pastorly love with two reactions of my own. Number one, I have been called by you and charged by our Lord to proclaim and teach all of God's word to you as His beloved sheep. And since biblical stewardship is part of His holy and inspired word, if I did not include His teaching for all of us regarding the way that He desires us to live and serve as stewards of the gifts that He has given us, then I would, A, not be faithful to God as His representative to you, His sheep, and B, I would not be faithful to what you as Christ's church have called me to be about as your pastor, and therefore, C, I would be actively sinning both against God and against you as my fellow believers in Christ. And then number two, if any of these thoughts might actually be seeking to find their way into your heart or mind, I would urge you to just think about that and understand that those are coming at you from two very evil and dangerous places that Jesus talked about in His prayer in Gethsemane. From the devil, who wants you and me instead to be his stewards, so that he can pull you and others with you away from God and from our God and Savior. And also, they are coming from this sin-soaked world, which also has only one goal, and that is using and abusing you and me for its own interests and thoughts. So, I don't think any of us, I'm confident none of us want to be a part of any of that. So let's just start off our People with a Purpose journey this year by putting those thoughts and those distractions aside this morning, this year. And with the Holy Spirit's help, let's open our hearts and our minds to what God has to teach or remind us of this morning from His perfect word of truth. The principle that all three of our scripture readings this morning place before us is this: God's stewards are in the world, but not of the world. In other words, as God's stewards, we recognize that the Lord sets us apart from the world. And by the transforming power of His saving gospel, He sends us into the world to live out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. One of the unique things the Bible teaches us Christians about ourselves is that as long as we remain here on earth, We are a kind of Jekyll and Hyde. Before our conversion, from the moment of birth, we were all 100% sinner. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 is very clear. Surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. That's it. Pretty clear. But since our conversion at baptism or through the gospel, Christ has cleansed us of all sin and wrapped the robe of his righteousness around us so that when God looks at us now, he sees us as 100% saint. And yet, until we leave this earth to be in paradise, we will struggle with sin. And that part of our flesh that naturally operates in opposition to God. That means that God's stewards are at the same time 100% sinner and 100% saint. So part of us, 100%, according to what I just said, loves God, has faith in him, loves and hears his word, and desires to follow his ways, right? I guess not. Yes. So I'll be preaching to a whole bunch of different people if that's the case. I'm going to say that one more time. So part of us, 100%, according to what I just said, loves God, has faith in him, loves and hears his word, and desires to follow his ways, right? Right. And that saint in us then, empowered by the Holy Spirit through God's gift of faith, is the new spiritual you that defines this principle that we are talking about today. You see, only someone who is a Christian, who has the new life of God's Spirit working within him or her, is able to recognize, acknowledge, and confess that God has actually called you out from within this world. That he has set you apart from the desires of your sinful flesh, from the ways of Satan, and this fallen and corrupt world in which you live. But we all know those pulls of our sinful flesh, of Satan, and of the world, are very strong. And so it is only through God's far more powerful Spirit, working through his word and his sacraments, that you and I can live and respond to the world around us now in a godly way. Having the same compassion that God has for our fellow believers in Christ, as well as for the unbelievers in the world around us. My dear friends, it is crucial that you understand what a blessing it is that you are an integral part of Christ's church. The English word for church comes from the New Testament Greek word ekklesia. We use the term ecclesiastical. That means that which is called out or called forth. It's an important part of our identity in Christ. It means that as a reborn child of God, you are still in this world, but no longer are you a part of this world. You have been called out of this world. We heard Jesus make that point in the gospel reading here this morning. When he was praying to the Father about his disciples, he said, quote, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." That's what Jesus himself said about you and me. It's something that all of us, I think, should spend a little more time pondering, even praying about with God. What does it mean that I am called out of this world? Paul then applies this truth, though, to help us out And applies it to our daily activities and lives in Romans 12, verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So that begs the question, why? Why has God, in His grace and mercy, saved you and called you out of this world and condemnation, but still left you in this earthly life? He keeps you here, my dear Christian, so that you might be a light in this dark world. So as Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 13, you might be the salt of the earth. Of course, as called out ones, there is danger for us because the prince of this world is none other than the devil himself. And he has countless human and demonic allies working against the church, against you and your faith. Plus, Satan has an ally, a secret agent on the inside, our own sinful flesh and its inborn proclivity toward evil. This is why in Romans 12, Paul encourages us to conform no longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing power of God. Never forget, my dear friends, that the Lord may have left us in this world, but He has not left us alone. When He baptized us into this new life, He also filled us with His Holy Spirit, who is there to strengthen us against that evil trinity that I teach my confirmands all the time. So those of you that have been through confirmation class, you know who the evil trinity is. It is Satan, the sinful world, and our own sinful flesh. And on top of that, He has fully equipped us with the sin and Satan crushing tools. And He has placed us here in the called out place where He gives free access to those tools. They are His Word and His sacraments. And they convey and clothe us with His armor that Paul talks about in Ephesians 6. The helmet of salvation. The shield of faith, with which we can extinguish the flaming darts of Satan, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And never, never forget that it is the Lord Himself who is always working within us. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 13, it is God who works in you, both to will and to work His good pleasure. So, for example, as a called out steward of God, who has yourself already received His gracious love, now you carry out His love into this world through all of the things that you do for others, both within the church and outside the church. Look, God has given us so many wonderful things. Life, our bodies, minds, regenerated spirits to start. And now as stewards, we gladly give a portion of that time to others, just as we use and give a portion of the talents and the treasure of the Lord that the Lord has entrusted to us for the various needs of the church and for the needs of those in the world. When we love others as God has first loved us. You see, Christian stewardship involves every single aspect of our lives. Not just what we do when we come to church, or what we do at or for a church event. It's often been said, stewardship is everything I do after I say, I believe. I like it. you realize it or not, all believers are witnesses to others at all times. So whether you're conscious of it or not, everyone who knows that you are a believer has his or her eye on you. And that includes your husband, your wife, your children, your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, co-workers, and your fellow Christians. That means that even Christians you don't know are watching you. Now, this actually came up in our men's Bible study discussion yesterday. Have you ever wondered, for example, about the sincerity of another person's faith that you heard identify themselves as Christian, but then you saw him or her act or speak in a way that was clearly not pleasing to God? And so it made you question, is that person really a Christian or not? Well, now turn the mirror back upon yourself. Are there times that you'd rather not have people know that you are a believer because of your own words or actions? God has called you out of this world for that purpose, friends, to be his witnesses, to be his light and salt to this dark and contaminated world. That's what Christian stewardship seeking is all about, to do the right things, however imperfectly, for the right reasons. Being transformed by God's renewal of our minds, as Paul calls us to be, necessarily then means that we are, not might, we are going to live differently than the rest of the world around us. It means our motives. Now we're getting really deep down in the core of ourselves. It means that our motives, our reasons for doing what we do, are not the same as others. We don't speak a certain way or do certain things because of guilt or embarrassment or the pressure that we have or feel to fit in or get along. No, all of those things come from the law. And they don't develop true Christian stewardship. Instead, our motivation is always based in love. We do the right things, the things God wants us to do, because of God's forgiveness that covers our sin with the blood of Christ. You see, as his redeemed child, God has credited to you Jesus's perfect obedience under the law, his suffering and his death to sin, and he has given you his new life. You and I are now inheritors of heaven and all of its blessing and glory. We are, let's see, children, what did we determine? We are Christianites. This unsurpassed love, this is what motivates us now to want to give so freely of ourselves, of the time and the treasure and the talents that God has given us to help and benefit others. And this life of stewardship is lived out not only here within the church, but out in the world as well. Wherever we are actively living and functioning in this world, there are so many worthwhile projects, both within the church and even outside of the church, where the time and the talents and the treasure that God has given to us can be shared as a tremendous blessing to others, as well as a faithful witness of God and his love for all people. And many times, perhaps most of the time, the most effective witness that we can make is simply in the different way that we respond to and face the various struggles and tensions that we face in this fallen, sin-infected world. as we deal with busy schedules and commitments in this life, facing financial concerns, work concerns, school concerns, neighborhood concerns, health issues, family concerns, grief, and on, instead of reacting with despair, anger, defensiveness, vulgarity, pointing the blame somewhere else, etc., as the world does to such things, we respond as people who trust in God's protection and provision. As those who are always, even in the midst of trouble, still thankful and blessed by His presence and guidance and strength. As stewards of Christ rather than children of the world. You see, we have the true source of strength, the powerful words of promise, hope, and encouragement from our God. And that is secured by Jesus in His death and resurrection. That's right. We have what those of the world don't have. God has given us His Word that guides us in our faith. He leads us and sustains us by His Spirit. And He gives us one another, the fellowship and the support of like-minded stewards. These resources, my friends, they are the exact opposite of what the world has to offer us. These all come to us from God Himself. Which means, let's see, how powerful are they? They have God's almighty power connected to them. So you see, this stewardship stuff, it's nothing to be afraid of. And it's anything but boring. My dear brothers and sisters, it is an out-of-this-world privilege to know that God loves you so much that He would call you to steward His things, to be His witness to an entire world. That's huge. That's how important and blessed and privileged you are. What a great gift. What a great blessing to be God's people with a purpose and to share that gospel purpose to the glory of our gracious God. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds and keep you in our Lord Jesus, today and forever. Amen.